Canto 8, chapter 18, chapter 17, and text 24. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Adite Dishtitam Garbam
Bhagavantam
Sanatanam
Hiranyagarbha
Vignaya
Samide
Guya
Namabhi
Adite Dishtinam Garbam
Bhagavantam Sanatanam
Bhagavantam Sanatanam
Hiranyagarbha
Vignaya
Samide Guya Namabhi
Adite
Dishtinam Garbham
Bhagavantam Sanatanam
Hiranyagarbha
Vignaya
Samide Guya Namabhi
Adite
Dishtinam Garbham
Bhagavantam Sanatanam
Hiranyagarbha
Vignaya
Samide Guya Namabhi
Into the womb of Aditi
Dishtitam,
being established.
Garbham,
pregnancy.
Bhagavantam,
under the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Sanatanam,
who is eternal.
Hiranyagarbha,
Lord Brahma.
Vignaya,
knowing this.
Samide,
offered prayers.
Guya Namabhi,
with transcendental names.
Translation.
When Lord Brahma understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was now within the womb of Aditi, he began to offer prayers to the Lord by reciting transcendental names.
Purport.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead exists everywhere. Therefore, when one chants his transcendental names,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead is automatically pleased by such sankirtan. It is not that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absent, he is present there. And when a devotee utters the transcendental name, it is not a material sound. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is naturally pleased. The devotee knows that the Lord is present everywhere, and that one can please him simply by chanting his holy name.
Text 25.
Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all glories unto you, who are glorified by all, and whose activities are all uncommon. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, O Lord of the Transcendentalists, controller of the three modes of nature. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again.
Text 26.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who have entered the cores of the hearts of all living entities. All the three worlds reside within your navel, yet you are above the three worlds. Formerly, you appeared as the son of Parishni. To you, the Supreme Creator, who are understood only through Vedic knowledge, I offer my respectful obeisances.
Text 27.
O my Lord, you are the beginning, the manifestation, and the ultimate dissolution of the three worlds, and you are celebrated in the Vedas as a reservoir of unlimited potencies, the Supreme Person. O my Lord, as waves attract branches and leaves that are flung deep into the water, you, the Supreme Eternal Time Factor, attract everything in this universe.
Purport.
The time factor is sometimes described as Kalashtotra, or the waves of time. Everything in this material world is within the time factor and is being carried away by waves of attraction. which represent the personality of Godhead. Text 28. My Lord, you are the original generator of all living entities, stationary or moving, and you are also the generator of the Prajapatis. O my Lord, as a boat is the only hope for a person drowning in the water, you are the only shelter for the demigods who are now bereft of their heavenly position. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 17th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Supreme Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son. Omargyam Timanandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshur Minitam Jainatasmai Sigurdave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishnam Stapitam Jainabhutale Shwam Rupakadamayam Dadantishva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Om Ram Shram Om Param Tataka Hatika Kesha Gajalat Parakalochana Bhadharaka Naka Swarsadiva Singha Namostaday. So in text 27, where Srila Prabhupada gives a short purport, Aditi is glorifying the Lord as Kalashtotra. Kalashtotra means that Krishna is the time factor. And Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita refers to himself as time. Kalashmi Lokakashaya. He says, time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds. So because time is so powerful within this material creation, it is taken as a representative of the Supreme Lord. Whatever is very powerful, whatever is very great, whatever is very opulent, is taken as an indication of the greatness of God, who is the source of everything. Aham savasya pabhavo matta sarvam pavartate. Whenever a devotee sees something great in this world, he is immediately reminded of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So time, kaloshmi, time is all powerful. In fact, although very subtle, there's nothing more powerful than time within this material world. We can think of so many powerful things, but the most powerful thing is invisible. There's powerful personalities like Napoleon. Whoever thought that Napoleon would fall? No one. No one ever thought that he would meet his Waterloo. Whoever thought that the British Empire would fall? There was a saying 100 years ago that the sun never sets on the British Empire. There was never an empire as great as the Britannic Empire. There were great empires, the Inca Empire, the Mayan Empire, the Hungarian Empire, the Austrian Empire. There were many, everybody had their chance, even Spain. You go to Spain now, it's just a decrepit little country. But even at one time, Spain ruled the seas, the Spanish Armada. But they met defeat in Britain. Actually, that was a historic battle. It changed the whole course of human history. The British became powerful. Whoever thought that the Britain would become what it is today? So much unemployment, so much crime. They can hardly manage the little island that they're on. At one time, the sun never set on the British Empire. Now it's gone. So there's powerful persons, and there's powerful nations, and there's powerful material phenomena. There's so many powerful things, powerful mountains, powerful seas, everything. So many powerful things. But under the influence of time, which is Krishna, they all disappear. Therefore, Krishna is all powerful. But the amazing thing is that although time is so powerful, it's imperceptible. We don't actually see the influence of time because it's like slow motion. You don't notice yourself taking birth. You don't see yourself taking birth, of course. You're not perceptive that you're growing older. Very few people perceive that they're growing old, that they're coming closer to death. Material nature has six very definite transformations. There's birth, there's growth, there's maintaining for some time, there's reproduction, there's dwindling, and finally there's death. These are very obvious things. But because time is so subtle, we're not aware of these things. And we think that our present life in this material world is permanent. This is the most amazing thing. At least this is how Maharaj Yudhishthir described it. He was asked by Yamaraj in disguise, what is the most amazing thing? He said, the most amazing thing is that everyone is going to the kingdom of death, the Hanyahani Bhutani. This means a Hanyahani Bhutani. Bhutani means a living. Hanyahani. Millions and millions of living entities are going to the kingdom of death every moment. But I don't think I'm going to die. We think that our life here is permanent. We cannot perceive the imperceptible nature of time. Unless, of course, we hear from devotees, then we can hear. Only sometimes does a person become a bit sober in this world when he sees the effect of time upon someone else. For example, this is called Shmashana Vairagya. Shmashana Vairagya. Does anyone know what this means? Shmashana? Shmashana? Alanath Prabhu? Yeah, to a funeral. Shmashana means actually cemetery. Shmashana, that's how you say, cemetery. Shmashana Vairagya. Vairagya means renunciation. So all of a sudden, you know, one of our family members meets death, and then, or someone meets death, and then, you know, we're sober. Wow, boy, I better get it together. This life is really temporary. There must be something more than just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. God, you know, Johnny was such a... I mean, I never thought Johnny would go. It's like I was in South Africa, I think it was last year, and we were collecting for Rath Yatra. And we went to one of the donors. You know, he was a nice man. He was always giving us... You know, I depended on him, actually. I was thinking, you know, great, Rath Yatra's going to go on for years. You know, this gentleman gives so much money. So we went to see him about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and he gave a nice donation. And by 5 o'clock, he was dead. I think, well, it's good I went that day and got the donation. Hare Krishna. He got some lasting benefit. He gave a donation. So it was actually a shock for me, because I was thinking, you know, after that happened, I was saying, wow, I was just speaking to him a few minutes ago. Or Baladev, the devotee who just recently left his body in Hungary. You know, he was my translator on my first trip to Hungary. And I just became used to the fact that he'd always be there. Every time I went to Hungary, he'd be my translator. I mean, what would it be like without him? He caught all the jokes. You know, it's hard. And the translating's not easy. You have to know not just, you know, vocabulary, but all the subtleties of English, and especially, you know, American sayings and things like that, you know. So he was really good, and then he's gone. And it was a shock for me. Just, you know. Then I became more sober. Wow. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. My rounds the next day were some of the best rounds I ever chanted. So Shmashana Vairagya. But then, you know, a few days later, snick, snick, ram, ram. So, Shmashana Vairagya. If only we could be perceptive of these things from moment to moment. And we often say, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that an intelligent man, he's aware of the evils. One of the signs of an intelligent person, he's perceptive of the evils of the nature of birth, death, old age, and disease. Actually, we should be conscious of these things all the time. It's an impetus towards our advancement in Krishna consciousness. That's because we're very neophyte. The advancement, the impetus for one in pure devotional service is simply Krishna's transcendental name, his transcendental fame, his form, his paraphernalia. But one who is still attached to this material world, he can see the miseries of material life in of themselves as an impetus to becoming Krishna conscious. The problem is that we're distracted by the material energy. We're attracted by the material energy. And therefore, we don't perceive that time is creeping up on us. And I remember a very nice example that Srila Prabhupada gave in one early class in New York City in 1966. It's on a tape. He gave the example of how we are distracted from the influence of the material energy. He gave the example of a deer. A deer, she goes to the lake to drink water. And while she's drinking the water, satisfying her quench for thirst, she sees her beautiful eyes, her doe-like eyes. Oh, who's that? Oh, that's me. Oh, aren't you beautiful? Yes, thank you. She becomes enchanted with her own reflection. Just like we all have this problem. As soon as we walk past a mirror, you know. As soon as we walk, not even past a mirror, as soon as we walk past just a reflection in the window, you know, it's just, we're so much still in the bodily concept of life. We have to be honest where we are in Krishna consciousness, how advanced we are. You know, I was sitting with Prabhupada one time in, I think it was in Geneva. Prabhupada was giving a Bhagavatam class in Geneva. And it was just, they were getting everything together for the class, you know, the microphone, this. And Prabhupada was just kind of sitting there, just in a moment. And I saw him looking at his hand. And he didn't say anything, but just the way he was looking at his hand, I could understand Prabhupada was thinking, what is this? This is so foreign to me. You know, obviously Prabhupada is a pure devotee, he belongs in the spiritual world, it's eternal transcendental form, engaging in pastimes with Krishna. But out of his mercy, he's come to this world and he's taken on a body which is only really meant for people who have material desires. This body is only meant to facilitate sense gratification. So someone who has no interest in sense gratification suddenly finds himself in this body. What is this? It's like all of a sudden if you were to be arrested and thrown in prison and they gave you a suit of stripes, black and white stripes, right? You think, God, what is this? Where's my clothes? What am I in this for? This is weird. So Prabhupada was looking at his hand like that. So we become, you know, we're still enchanted by this illusory energy and we're intoxicated actually. And Prabhupada said the first intoxication is attraction to the body. So we go past that window and we just can't resist, you know. Who is telling me? Oh. Somebody's brother. Who was that? Some little girl, her brother, she was mentioning. Oh yeah, your brother. Won't mention any names. She remembered how her brother was combing his hair like that, right? And somebody else, their brother, was putting the gel in the hair. We were doing these impersonations the other night over at Madhuri's house, and it was just so funny to hear how... And actually, you can see it also in Harinam when you're going down the street. Sometimes I'm leading the Harinam, and the voices become weaker and weaker. I'm going, what's going on? I look back. Everyone's looking in the window. They're either looking at the things inside the window, or they're looking at themselves in the windows. Pretty much the same ball game. So we're temporarily distracted. Something's, you know, very, very beautiful in this world. Something's very attractive then. Because we've not yet experienced the full beauty of Krishna, we still think something is attractive in this world. But as soon as we become convinced that Krishna is Krishna, what does Krishna mean? All attractive. As soon as we become convinced that Krishna is Krishna, then we won't even deviate for a moment. We won't look one way or the other way. We'll just, our consciousness, our meditation will always be on the transcendental name, fame, form, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord. So we can discover that all attractive nature of Krishna. How? Oh my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benedictions upon the living entities. Thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda, etc. In all these transcendental names, you invested all your transcendental energies, your opulences. And there are no hard and fast rules for chanting these holy names. But unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction. So Lord Chaitanya is trying to teach us to take shelter of that sound vibration which possesses all beauty, all strength, all knowledge, all fame, all renunciation, everything is there. Whatever is here is simply a partial manifestation of that, Krishna. So all beauty is in Krishna. All strength is in Krishna. All fame is in Krishna. All renunciation, all knowledge is there. And we can contact him immediately by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the deer, she's captivated by that. Deers have very beautiful eyes. The word is sometimes used, doe-like eyes. You say to somebody, oh, you have doe-like eyes. You know, very big and round and nice eyelashes, doe-like eyes. So the deer, that's her problem. She has a little sweet nose. Actually, deer are very cute. I saw that yesterday. We went to the down south a little bit, and there were all these deer, and they were very pretty, very cute little deer. Sometimes even little calves, they look like little deers. I guess that's why Bharat Maharaj didn't make it, because deers are so cute. So she's there, she's drinking the water, but she doesn't perceive that behind her a tiger is slowly coming up. So she goes on drinking, looking at her beautiful face, and the deer, or the tiger, he's coming up, coming up. Her ears are very sensitive, but because she's attracted by the illusory material energy, she doesn't perceive the tiger coming, and finally, he consumes the deer. So Prabhupada said the deer represents the living entity and the tiger represents time. So enchanted by this material energy, we are unaware that time is slowly creeping up. There's birth, then after birth we grow a little bit, then there's reproduction, there's dwindling for some time, but we're not conscious that the time is slowly creeping up. We're just enchanted by so much beauty in this world. Time kisses his death, just like the tiger of death. Finally, it's too late, just like the deer, it's too late. But nature has certain warning signs to help us become aware that Kalashmi or Kalashambhara is slowly creeping up. That time is slowly creeping up on us. Just like by nature's arrangement, in India, they have that region near Bengal, where there's still tigers. And whenever a tiger goes hunting in the forest, there's a little rodent that accompanies him. This is nature's arrangement. Otherwise, the tiger would just kill all the animals in the forest. So to create a balance in nature, there's a little rodent that follows the tiger. And this little rodent, he's a little rascal. At least the tigers think like this. He makes a beep, 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 little noise like that when the tiger's going. And this, because the tigers, they're very big, very powerful, but they're very expert. You've seen cats, you've seen them when they're hunting for mice. I sometimes wonder, how does a cat catch a mouse? The mouse is just going, how does a cat, a big cat, creep up on a mouse? It's so big, it makes so much noise like this, but cats are very expert. They go like that, they don't see it. So these big Bengal tigers are going in the forest, you know, and you would think, king of the forest, the lion or the tiger, they can have anything they eat they want. But no, there's a balance there. Nature creates a balance. That balance is that little rodent. Like here you see sometimes I saw the new Govardhan. I saw the cows. The cows are eating the grass, they're tearing up the roots, and they're always accompanied by these birds. I never saw that before. When I first came to Australia, I was amazed. These white birds with long beaks are always sitting on top of the cows. La-di-da. It seems to be like some kind of natural arrangement or something. What does this bird make such good friends with the cow for? But then I saw that the cow was eating the grass, and as soon as he finished, the bird jumped down and ate all the bugs that came up as a result of pulling the grass up. Cow could care less about the bugs. The cow was just eating the grass, but the bugs were there, so they had that arrangement. That teamwork is there. So in the same way, you always see these birds with the cows in Australia. You always see this rodent with the tigers in Bengal. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. Watch out. Here comes the tiger. Beep, beep. Watch out. Here comes Mr. Tiger. And all the animals, they hear this beep. They don't hear the tiger, big powerful tiger, but they hear the beep. So by nature's arrangement, there are also signs for an intelligent person of all devouring death, of the influence of time in this world. Just like the tiger is always preceded by the rodent, so similarly, death is always preceded by, well, for example, old age. Old age is a warning. Beep, 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 beep. Here comes death. Right? So someone will say, great, I'm only 21. That tiger is far away from me. Right? Old age is for old people. But not according to Prahlad Maharaj. According to Prahlad Maharaj, old age means just before you die. That's the real definition of old age. Old age means just before you die. So, you could be old right now. I could be like ancient right now. I could just like get in the car after Bhagavatam class and on the way back to the Mother Madre's house. Actually, they say that most accidents happen within 5 kilometers of the home. We think, you know, accident means I'm going in a long drive, you know, down to the South Islands. I better be really careful. But when I'm just driving back to my house, you know, who cares? But it's not like that. Accidents, most accidents happen within 5 kilometers of the home. And many accidents, many fatal accidents happen in the home. So you never know. So old age means just before you die. You could be an old man right now. Just like tigers, they don't have preference for old people. They're like children because children are tastier, right? Old people, all the muscles are all old and used up, stringy, those stringy muscles. You have to eat an old man. The tiger has to chew a long time. But it gets a nice little Bengali village boy, that tasty. So death is like that also. Death doesn't just prefer 75-year-old people, but death, no mercy. He's merciless. Also, young people. Remember, we used to sing a song. This was during the 1960s. I always wonder if it's bona fide to do this anyway. We used to sing this song about Vietnam. You probably all know it. Let me see. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls pick them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the young men gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young men gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young men gone? Cannonballs took them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? I see all the old faces here relating to that one. So there's a saying, time and tide wait for no man. So we could be old right now. In fact, I read a recent report about the human body. And actually, the human body is growing up to the age of 27. And from 27, it begins to deteriorate. We like to push it, right? Actually, you know, I'm just 40. Life begins at 40. But actually, the deterioration process, like for one who has taken his birth, death is certain, for one who has died. But so, what did he say? One not busy being born is busy dying. So that deterioration process actually begins very young. The body begins to deteriorate. And that's actually seen in the life of, like, athletes. Athletes nowadays are actually in their prime at 15 or 16. They used to think, you know, an athlete was like 21, 22. But actually by the time you're 25, you're hanging your shoes up nowadays. I mean, there's a few exceptions, but there was one girl, I don't know who won the Wimbledon, anybody know? But there was one superstar, she's only 13 years of age, and there was some contestment that, you know, should a 13-year-old girl be allowed under the pressure and the anxiety, you know, and the stress of Olympic, or rather Wimbledon competition, because she's only 13. Her mind is not so developed, but her physically, she was in her prime, and she was beating superstars who were like 18, 20, 21 years of age. But by the time one is, you know, 25, 27, things begin to deteriorate. So the influence of time is all powerful. We're fast approaching death. But this is not lamentable if one is intelligent. Of course, one who is attached to the bodily concept of life, this is lamentable. But one who is Krishna conscious, he sees these things as a warning sign. Better get it together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Just imagine if there were no warning signs when you were driving down the road. Very dangerous. But the government has arranged it as you're driving down. Well, slow down here. Slow down to 40. Slow down. Watch out for this turn. Watch out for the turn. Okay? It's to your advantage when you see these things. Not that, why is it? Why did they make so many stupid stop signs in this city? Right? Just do away with the stop signs. No. All those things are there for a purpose. So, you know, thank God they're there. So the devotee is going through life. He sees all these things. Ah, thank you, Krishna. Oh, thank you. Whoa, watch out. Whoa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. Better not stop here. Better keep going towards the goal, not get distracted. I think I told a story one time. There was one devotee. He was a Sankirtan devotee. He was driving back. He was driving a load of books to our Sankirtan party. So he was driving, and he's usually a pretty good driver. And we were in the mountains, so he had to really concentrate. But there was this fly. Did I tell you the story? There was a fly. This is how he told it, at least. There was a fly. I know I've had this experience myself. You're driving down the road, and then, get out of the way. Would you just, what? Somebody please take care of this fly? And then he tried to grab him. So that's what happened to this boy. This is what he said. He was driving and there was this fly. I think he fell asleep actually. He tried to grab the fly and he went off the road. Destroyed the Sankirtan van, all the books we had. He had a big safe of money. It was all finished. Fortunately, he wasn't hurt. But we have to think like that. We were discussing the other day when you're shaving. If you're careful, you get a clean. Moments in attention. So you're going down the road of life, and the goal is Krishna. Krishna's all attractive, but sometimes it fades out a little bit, and there's something may appear more attractive. We look to the side. So the warning signs are there to help us. And that aging process, that is the final sign. Just like you're driving down the road and you're approaching, there's a green light. So just before it turns red, it turns yellow. It doesn't just turn red, I don't think so. It goes, well, in some countries, it's green. Where is that? Is that here? Here. The light's green, and then it turns yellow, and then it turns red. There's a warning. Before you get to the red, there's a little yellow. So like that, we're going through life, and there's a warning. Yellow, old days, then death will come. So by the time we reach that stage of old age, we should be Krishna conscious. That means now. Because like we said, old age doesn't necessarily mean when you're old, 75, old maybe right now. But before that moment arrives, we should be Krishna conscious. There's a saying to grow old gracefully. So what is the gracefulness of old age? What is there in old age that could be appreciable? Well, knowledge and renunciation. That's real beauty. If by the time you're old you have knowledge, Krishna conscious knowledge, or you have a spirit of renunciation, that's very attractive. We often quote Chanaka Pandit, the beauty of a cuckoo is in his sweet notes, the beauty of an ugly person is in his scholarship. Even if a person's very old, decrepit and ugly, if that person can speak very nicely, everyone is attracted to him. So knowledge is not something you get in your youth. Not really. It takes a while. It's very rare to see a young child. If a child can speak spiritual knowledge at a young age, that's supremely attractive. just like I know Prahlad, Sri Prahlad. Of course, he's getting older now. But when he first came with me, he was, what, 16 or something? And he used to speak, and people would rather listen to him than me. To hear a young boy speak spiritual knowledge, it captivates the heart. That's why Vamanadeva, Krishna took the role of Vamanadeva, because Bali Maharaj couldn't resist a young boy speaking such eloquent words. But it's rare. Usually, you have to pay the price. You know, 40 or 50 years of austerity, penance, devotional service, and then, you know, you say, Dehinasmin tadehe kovanam yovanam jada tatatayam taras papti dirastatanam oriente. Your audience, wow. They listen. You know, this realized knowledge, vairagya vidya. So we shouldn't lament as we grow older. Oh, the wrinkles are coming. The hair is fading. The blubber is coming. We should look for the real beauty, knowledge, detachment, and knowledge, the vairagya vidya. These are the things Mahaprabhu actually came to give. And bhakti. This bhakti, devotion. If we can have these things. The beauty of youth is, you know, what is it? For boys, it's, you know, frogs and snails and puppy dog tails. And the happiness and the beauty for girls is sugar and spice and everything nice. Right? That's how they describe it. Frogs and snails and puppy dog tails, sugar and spice and everything that's nice. But it fades very quickly. But knowledge and enunciation doesn't fade. And what to speak of bhakti? All these things will pass, like George Harrison said, all things will come to pass. But he didn't know. Not devotional service. Any knowledge that you have of Krishna, any renunciation you've developed in Krishna consciousness, in particular any bhakti that you have, that will stay with you. Death will not be able to destroy that. Time will not be able to destroy those things. Well, you can say, but yeah, the devotee is born again, but he doesn't remember everything. But the spirit is there. The impression is there. Maybe he doesn't remember the verses as he comes out of the room. Although I have one disciple, this is a bit confidential, I have one disciple, he swears to me that for the first 3 years of his life, he was completely conscious that he was a living entity, a mature living entity, embodied in the body of a child. He had full consciousness, full awareness. That's what he said. He's one of my best disciples, so I can't doubt him. He just, sometimes these things happen. This type of a mystic power or something. He remembers, you know, being 1 year old, his mother changing his diapers, thinking, "What in the world? I mean, this mother changing my diapers? I mean, I can, you know, a few years ago I could change my own clothes as this lady changing my stool and urine. This is embarrassing." And I have these desires, you know, he's thinking. And then he said that I'm 3 years old, just vanished. But he has vivid memories. You want to know who it is? The Sringananda. Now he's a very good, do any of you know the Sringananda? He'd been to Europe. He's a really good devotee. Very good devotee. He has this ability to remember. But generally those that advanced consciousness comes later in life. So we should strive for real, what is a real asset, a valuable asset, something that will not be destroyed by time, something that will not be taken away by death. Time defeats a materialist by taking everything away. But because a devotee employs his time in the service of the Lord, time, Krishna, is very favorable to a devotee. For a non-devotee, time, Krishna is not very merciful like that. Because of their sinful actions, he takes everything away. But a devotee sees time as Krishna, and he uses time in Krishna's service. Therefore, Krishna, as time, awards a devotee by giving him realization in time. In time, you get realization. For materialists, everything is taken away. But at time awards the devotee so many realizations in Krishna consciousness. We have so much to look forward to in the years to come. We may lose these assets, you know, the hairs and the skin and the freckles. We may lose that. But if we serve Krishna, we take advantage of every moment to serve Krishna properly, then the reward will be so many realizations in devotional service. Actually, a devotee sees Krishna as time, kaloshmi. Therefore, he deals with time very carefully. Just like when you're first introduced to the deity, you know, well, so what? He says, yeah, all right, you know, they're pretty, but... But then the more you understand the deity, oh, shisirada giridhani hijai, and you know, you're very careful. So the more we can understand that Krishna is present in this material creation as time, then the more our perception of time will change. We'll want to utilize time properly in devotional service, as Chanakya Pandit encourages us. Ayusha shana ekopi, he says, one cannot gain back one moment of time for all the gold in the world. So a devotee is very careful. As he is careful with the deity, he's as careful with time. And I think that's one of the symptoms of one in the stage of bhava. There's different symptoms of one who's reached an exalted stage of Krishna consciousness. And one symptom of one who's reached an exalted stage of Krishna consciousness is that he's very careful to use every moment in Krishna's service. Bhagavatam says, Ayur Harati Vaipunsham Udyan Ashtam Chayan Asho. That both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone except the devotee who utilizes his time for discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. So we don't have... We're using our time for Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. We don't have to be afraid of time. Time will be our friend by rewarding us with so many wonderful Krishna conscious realizations. So that's why it's very important that as aspiring devotees, we utilize every moment of our time in Krishna's service. And that's why we're so fortunate to have a program, to have a schedule in our lives. You imagine if it was just left up to us how to utilize our time in Krishna's service, we wouldn't know what to do. But the mercy is that we have a very disciplined program, beginning at 4 o'clock in the morning and going until 10 o'clock at night. So a serious devotee, you can see a serious devotee by how careful he is, how attentive he is to following that program which engages all his time in Krishna's service. Because he knows if it's outside of the program, then he'll simply begin to utilize time according to his own speculation. But if he sticks to the program, then he knows his time is being utilized to the best advantage. Therefore, you'll see that devotee is very strict. Coming hell or high water, that devotee is always there for the Mangalartik. No matter what happens in this world, even if there's chaos, catastrophe, that devotee's present before Sisi Radha Giridhari at 4:30 in the morning when the curtains open. And the rest of that morning program is going to that program because he knows, he's experienced. So that is the best use of time. And when time is, when I'm left up to my own to how to utilize my time, very often I don't use it, I utilize it to the best advantage. So we're very fortunate that we have a program like that. And we should all be very serious to be present for every moment of that program, because those moments are particular. That's mangala. Mangala means auspicious. It's particularly those moments. Time is calculated, the day is calculated according to different times, different, it's divided into different, I don't know what they're called, different sections of the day. And some sections are, well, one section is called mangalam. That's why we call it mangalartik. Mangalam, mangalam, mangalam. Mangalam means it's a auspicious time. So especially that time, if no other time, especially that time we should be engaged in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Materialist, not understanding the influence or the significance of time, he abuses it. There's a famous saying, I'm going to kill some time today. How are we going to kill time? Right? They don't know what to do with their time. You know, so they say, now we're going to kill some time. So they waste their time in sense gratification, and the valuable opportunity is taken away. Especially the time of the human form of life. Just like if a man is entrusted with a very important responsibility, let's say he becomes the director of a big business, it's to be understood that he's supposed to be responsible for employing his time in that service. Now, he's the director of a big business, and instead of, you know, working on the computer and having meetings, he sits with his friends and plays poker all day, right? Okay, I'm head of this big business. Get out the card. Woo-hoo! And he's playing right. Then he wastes his time, and what happens? He gets demoted. He gets removed to a lesser responsibility. So someone who doesn't use this valuable human form of life, the time afforded to a human being for becoming Krishna conscious, then that opportunity is taken away. He's demoted. He becomes an animal. This next life. So we should be very conscious to utilize time properly. We don't have that much time. At most we have 100 years if you're really lucky. I mean, who lives 100 years anymore? In Poland, where we're preaching, the average age of a man is 48 years of age. 48. In southern Poland, in Bytom, we're 2 miles from Bytom. In Bytom, one of the most polluted places on the earth, the living conditions are so austere, it's so cold, and you know there's hardly any public heating or you know natural heating. People sometimes they have these big systems in the communist days that they would heat the whole areas, but that system isn't working there. And everyone works in the coal mines, and there's so much pollution that you know. It's gray. Sometimes you cough up phlegm, you know, and it's black. I'm breathing they say life expectancy is, you know. I was sometimes wondering, you know, what the heck am I doing here, you know? But, you know, better die. What is the value of a long life in experience by years in this world? Better one moment of full consciousness, of Krishna consciousness, because that begins us on the path of perfection. That was the first verse I ever memorized. What is the value of a prolonged life inexperienced by years in this world? Better one moment of full consciousness, Krishna consciousness, because that begins us on the path of perfection. So I was thinking, oh, you know, I could be in Hawaii, I could be in Malaysia, but you know, what would I here, we're on the streets, Sankirtan. I took not a visa there. Manavisa, he came over and he went from India to run into America, but we invited him to come to Poland, so we were together for a few weeks, and we walked down one city there, and it was a particularly miserable day. It was already miserable enough, but it was particularly miserable that day. You know, just by looking out, your eyes were stinging, and when you breathe in, you know, your voice would be, your throat was seared. We were walking through this environment, we just, you know, and we looked down the street and it was like a hazy kind of street and gray and particularly communistic type old place, concrete everywhere. And, you know, I looked at Manavis and he looked at me and we both smiled and we had the same realization, I think. I looked at him, I said, what are you smiling about, Prabhu? He said, this is ecstasy. I said, yeah, what's ecstasy? He said, look at all these fallen souls. They're so miserable and they never heard Krishna's holy name. He said, let's start right now. He started in the kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this is a devotee. He's, you know, rather, he sees that hellish situation as a wonderful opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness and get the Padam Drishti Nivartante, the higher taste. And actually, through that kirtan, that street was transformed. He's a good kirtan leader, Manavisa. And, you know, we had a really enthusiastic kirtan. And suddenly, we weren't perceiving that we were in some hellish, industrial Polish town. We were thinking, God, this is ecstatic. This is like Vaikuntha. You know? So the holy name has that power. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just as darkness cannot stand in the presence of light, even if it's the darkest, darkest room, a small candle can light it up. So similarly, ignorance cannot stay where there is the chanting, even unconsciously, small chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So Prahlad Maharaj says we have 100 years. But actually, in Poland, they have 48 years. But let's just say you have 100 years. Still, then, what does he say? 25 years of youth is wasted in frivolous activity. The next 25 years, working hard to maintain family members. The next 25 years in retirement, and the last 25 approaching death. And of that, he says 50% is sleeping. You know, we're thinking we have so much time, but on the summer tour, we saw that play. No time, no time. There's hardly any time. We realized how much time we had. Out of that calculation of Prahlad Maharaj, you know, what's left? Whatever that is, you divide it by 50, because you sleep. We sleep half the time. So whatever little time we have, whatever moment of wakefulness we have, we should utilize it in Krishna consciousness. That's the best use of time. And actually, Prabhupada's so kind that he's arranged that all of our time, is engaged in Krishna's service. And if we really are conscious of that, and we really are conscious of Krishna, in the execution of our morning program and our devotional service throughout the day, if we become very conscious of that, then even the nighttime, that will also be able to remember Krishna. Just like Prabhupada said, even 50 years ago in India, people would come together in the evening, and before going to sleep, they would discuss the pastimes of Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, and their minds would become so impressed with that, those wonderful pastimes, that when they went to sleep at night, they would dream those pastimes. This is the perfection. Kirtaniyat sadahari. If we utilize our time wisely, then time will be our friend. Time will deliver us to Krishna. Otherwise, we'll have to experience time as Kaloshmi, the destroyer of everything. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna. I'm not going to take any questions because I just want to discuss a little bit the university program. I haven't had time to meet Mother Mani Kundalasingham. Is she here? Yeah. That program is beginning at 11:30. Say that again.
This was different from yesterday, UNITEC. Hmm. Basically, it's the same problem today, university also.
How many people are you expecting?
500.
About 100. And what is the format of the program?
It's 2 o'clock. We serve Prashad, and it's been advertised that we sing and dance and give talks like that.
Is like one room? We have one room?
It's a big room.
Right.
We have a dance floor. There is space for 500 people. We have tables and chairs.
500 people.
So there is plenty of space for dancing.
Is there a stage?
We can make the stage ourselves. We have a stage.
Do we have the material for making the stage?
Yes,
we do. Okay. And as many devotees as would like to come are invited?
Yes, everyone is welcome to come.
Okay. Who would like to go to this university program? It begins at 11:30? Okay. So I would like to get there quite early. I'd like to get there about 10:30, just to set everything up. We should have a nice book table. Do we have a table and books? And who's cooking the feast?
Priya Narayan Prabhu has already been cooking, so I should be finished.
Okay. We have plates and cups and everything for... And so what we'll do is we'll begin at 11:30 with a bhajan and attract all the students to come and sit with us.
We have permission to have Harinam on campus.
Harinam on campus.
So we can actually have Harinam on campus, and then we can take everyone out.
Okay.
But it's a function room. It's just about the cafeteria and everybody will...
Have we ever had Harinam on campus? Has anyone ever heard of Harinam on the campus here? Wow. Do they know what Harinam is?
They go to Gopal, they see us from Harinam on the town, they come here for the feast. They're very terrible.
Okay. So how many are you cooking for?
We cook for 200 people.
200 people, okay. So a class is going on before that program? They don't mind if we have Harinam through? I mean, can we have Harinam in the halls and the classrooms and you know things like that? You know how it is. I mean, if you're going to open it up, the director's office and on the tables, you know. You know how Kalasambhara or Jambavati get in these kirtans, you know. Can we go around, you know, for 1 hour from 10:30 to...
It is not a big campus, it's just the quiet.
Oh, I see.
There's the bookshop and the student union.
Is that where they distribute prasadam every week? That I went, I saw Dukhi Krishnadas there?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So maybe we just have a sit-down, kirtan? Is that...
The program that we had permission to have a walking... Just for a few minutes to get everyone up there.
A few minutes.
At the function room for 3 hours, we can do what we want.
I see. We'll see when we get there what we want to do, how we want to do it. So, Baba, will you be bringing the bus? Is that confirmed?
Is there enough?
Yeah, raise your hands again. Practically the whole temple room.
And you'll want the bus?
It'd be good if we could all go at the same time and get there at the same time. Otherwise, you know, it'd be... So... If we want to be there at 10:30, 10:45-ish, what time will we have to leave here?
10 o'clock.
Okay. So the bus will be outside here? The bus will be outside at 10 o'clock. So all those of you who'd like to come, please be present at exactly 10 o'clock to be punctual, and then we'll go. Trivikram, you can be in charge of the instruments. You bring the harmonium, mridangas, and kartals. And Surya Narayan will put the feast in the bus at that time?
We have also a small band.
Okay. And do we have like a carpet that we can sit on? Some type of carpet?
It's all carpet except for the dance floor.
Okay. All right. And the stage, the materials for building the stage are there? Or the stage is already there. I wasn't quite clear on that one.
The stage, we have some pieces here that we can bring in there because we are with the Vyasa-san. And there's a little square there. It's not
rice. Okay. So Ramachandra, you can be in charge of getting that stage paraphernalia together, whatever it means. And is there a sound system there?
No, we have to...
Okay, so what... Who's? The mouse. Okay. Divya, you'll be in charge of that. We have to bring one of these microphones, one of these cables. You can actually bring two, because it has two... holes in it, the mouse, and bring two stands, two mics, and two cables. Make sure they work before. Okay. And who's doing the book table? You're in charge of the book table? Okay. You have a cloth to put on the book table and everything? What if we did a play? You have any plays, like a kind of routine play that you do here, like Bird in the Cage or... Oh, we got Mr. Play personified here from the room. Puneet, can you get a little play together with some devotees? Thank you. Thank you very much. So give a big hand there for that mom. That was like a spontaneous, spontaneous thing. What we'll do is we'll have bhajan, then we'll have lecture, then we'll have play. Do we have any Bharatanatyam dancers here?
Yes.
Okay. Ram Priya. Can you do some Bharatanatyam? Thank you very much. Do you have a tape that you use? Does she have a tape? She has a tape.
Another sings quite nicely with
harmony. Who? If there's no tape, you can accompany her by... What about Ruchi? She's a bar. She's just that great, that Tabokara Kamala. We can have two... Oh, she's in school. Yes, bring this guy's jai. Hari Bol. We're going to knock them out there, boy. You know, gumboots. And maybe the ladies could wear gopi dots. It's always very attractive. Right? Not just for the kiddies, but over 40, you can also wear gopi dots. All right? Nice size gentlemen, dressed properly. They don't shave their heads.
Sorry.
Just gopi dots is enough now. Carlos will teach you how. I've seen, believe it or not, I've seen Carlos and gopi dots and Harinam. Anyone else remember that day? Call us, please don't do it today. Okay? Only Alanath has permission. All right. And so you're in charge of the book table. You have incense and everything. What you're selling? Sound system, prasadam, bharat natyam, ecstatic. This is ecstasy. So we'll have kirtan, talk, bharat natyam, play, bharat natyam. First Ramapri will do her bharat natyam, then Punarik will do his play, then we'll have a second bharat natyam performance by Ruchi, and then another kirtan, and then a feast. And by that time it should be 6 o'clock in the evening. And who's going to bring the buzzer to shave them up? Huh? Adipur, you bring a buzzer to shave them up, okay? And have some extra dodos here, and then we'll bring a few back, and then fill the place up.
We just missed a bit about the stage. Are we taking the stage from here down there?
Is that the idea, Manji? We're taking the stage from here?
You know that red piece in the temple's houses? There's three of them. If you could take one, you could.
Oh, the boxes.
The ones that we used on here, please.
We can't. Is there anything there that we can use as a stage? Because it is a bit hard if we're all sitting on the same level as the students. It's like they can't see anything. There's nothing there. There's no stage in this huge hall. What is this hall usually used for?
Ballroom.
A ballroom. There's no stage?
No.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
No possibility of getting that thing there, huh? Can you take charge of that, Baba? I mean, really good if we went in there like full force. These kids would never forget that program, you know? They'd never forget it. They just, like, we'd be the talk of the university for months. Is it really a good feast, a big feast? No, but I mean, it's the feast. What is the feast? What is the cooking? What is he cooking? Okay. Check on that stage, Baba. Make a world of difference. Get there somehow. So it's 8:30 now. We'll have a relatively short Guru Puja. That'll give everyone time to prepare themselves to meet the bus at 10 o'clock. Doesn't leave much time, actually, does it? Okay, so everyone remember their various responsibilities, and we'll meet you at 10 o'clock, and off we'll go. Shishi Radha Giridhari Ki, Jagannath Subhadra Bhava Deva Ki, Shishi Gaur Nithai Ki, Shiva Prabhupada.